When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Hello, Fightful Faithful. You thought we forgot about you, but we didn't. If you enjoy the NXT product and our reviews of such, you might have been like, well, where's a review of the Gab? I so needed to hear Alex and Kate's thoughts about the Gab. You had to wait almost 24 hours for it, but we're here.
We're here to gab about the Gab.
We're gabbing about the Gab. I watched this at after we got done with our 3.5 hour All In review, after watching All In for 7 hours. What I said to myself is, I need to expose myself to more wrestling, but worse.
Yesterday, after our review, which was 3.5 hours long, which over 15,000 of you watched, God bless.
Yes.
I was like, I am ready for bed. I see you in the chat that is going up between me and Luis at all times watching this. And then I see a post from Sean that says, just watch Starks and Ethan Page. Like, what a great match. And we're going to talk about it. Seems like they had something to prove. And I was like, what is wrong with the people I work with? Like, come on now. Get it together. Go to bed, both of you. You're both crazy. Save it till tomorrow.
I'm a night person. It was either I've got 3 hours left in my brain before it shuts down and I got to go to sleep. So let's watch this now. Otherwise, I got to get up in the morning and watch it. The morning sucks. No, like I'll do that before I go to bed. Thank you very much.
My God.
So yeah, as Orion Ben says, All In was the warm up. This is the SGS main event. Yeah, see,
Great American Bash post show, we should still do our thing.
Yeah, do your thing. Do the thing that you do. The shilling portion.
Like my thing. So don't try and take it away from me, but this is the Great American Bash post show. The event took place on July 12th, a weird thing that we don't normally have to make a distinction about, but our post show is happening here on July 13th. The WWE Evolution post show will be hosted by myself and Cresta later tonight as well here on the main. We're going to talk some women's wrestling, the good, the bad, and the ugly about the lack of build, but will certainly be in-ring phenomenal wrestling for the most part. So join us for that if you can. 5 post shows in 3 days is the grind that I'm on, baby. We're not running for anything, but send in your super chats, send in your humper chats for this one. Because this was kind of tucked away, Alex, there were a number of things that I liked on the show that I had not like forgotten about, but just compared to one promotion doing their biggest show of the year, putting on these like epic classics. Right. I was like, oh yeah. Like I felt like, Ricky and Ethan felt like more of a blow off than I thought it was going to. I thought Javon Evans is a freak of nature, but a lot of this, like Saturday night's main event and like Evolution, just feels like maybe there's not the appropriate juice. And I'm glad Juice Robinson is back. I don't mean it in that way, but like, and Great American Bash was never like, oh, what a huge pay-per-view, certainly. But like in a weekend oversaturated with wrestling, unfortunately, the vibe of this was All In is going on and also there's other stuff going on. Like to me feels like they didn't give their own talent a fair shot because of this need to counter program in a way. But there were some things that I was pleasantly surprised by and other things that made me want to roll my eyes so far in the back of my head that it makes me dizzy.
Yeah. It was really unfair of the NXT talent to put this on when they did, how they did. In a 700 seat theater opposite, you know, a 30,000 baseball stadium mega show with a pyro budget equal to that of the Jacksonville Jaguars payroll. And then you do this here, and obviously it's going to look like small potatoes by comparison.
A comparison that they created. That's my thing. Like
that was not like all excited. We're gonna do this giant show opposite their little podunk crap. Like you decided what we're gonna do to counter pro dump their WrestleMania podunk crap. We're gonna do that. And it just like that's don't choose that. If you can avoid it, don't.
Don't assign your talent that kind of vibe. Like that just feels unfair because there's some incredible wrestlers on the show that we're gonna talk about. But and also keeping in mind that I reviewed and watched SmackDown, ROH, and All In. So I was watching this morning through fatigued eyes. So if my excitement for it doesn't pop off the charts, it's because I'm a little bit of a zombie. So people who watch the WWE product or only watched, you know, certain things this weekend or didn't spend 3.5 hours yapping about them or whatever, like might have a different experience watching this. But I was just like, this felt like a really solid episode of NXT. This did not feel like a special
event. Yeah, it felt like it was an episode of NXT, one of those named ones. Like they used to do the Great American Bash as just like a Tuesday show. You know what I mean? And then they decided to make that into a play. And then they'd put a bunch of, maybe the possible exception of like one match, they put a bunch of super predictable stuff on the card. So like this is something that you could easily have watched via clips over your favorite social media platform and not really miss anything except for one incredibly major thing that did not happen in any match that we need to discuss at length. And we will do that when I decide to. They start out with Jasper Troy versus Javon Evans. Javon Evans has the Damon Dallas Page memorial rib tape. I hope he doesn't have to wear it for 3 years like Diamond Dallas Page did in the 90s.
Look forward to Javon Evans' yoga program that incorporates other aspects of it. Like in 40 years from now, I can't wait to see
the young yoga OG program yoga. That
guy comes out with. Just rehabilitating veterans.
So they call it Yog Yoga. Young OG Yoga. Everybody sign up for Yog Yoga. It's the best yoga there is.
Oh my gosh. All the legends will be like people that we're watching now that get rehabilitated from Yog Yoga. Yeah. But yes, he was certainly taped up. Certainly taped up.
Yeah. Well, hold on one here. I wanted to get to this. No Poets Allowed says Jasper Troy shows a lot of potential, but Javon Evans was the star of this PLE. The way he bumped and sold made Troy look like the next Obafemi. And then this is from at No Poets Allowed. And then No Poets Allowed says, this is Jim D, by the way. I don't know why it listed my channel name, LOL. This is a new thing that YouTube is doing where like they put the at and then your channel name as opposed to the name that you decided that's how you want to be known by in the chats. But at No Poets Allowed, Jim D, you didn't need to send in $5, although we'll take it.
We will take it. And you being Jim, I hope this isn't too invasive a question. Are you slim? Because I'm concerned that you might be living a life of being plastered on tables.
Are you in fact a table, sir?
Are we getting super... hold on. This is why we decided to do this review. Mm-hmm. Okay. We're going to talk about NXT, but we needed some SGS vibes in here this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are we getting super chatted by a table? And also, what's your beef with Poets? Why aren't they allowed? Is it just for the pun of poets and being loud? Do you hate, what's it called? Like meter? What is your beef with haikus? I have questions. No
poems. And if you have a beef, if you have a beef with meter, we hope you don't have a beef with meat, because Meat Normus is in the chat.
It's true. Yeah. And I wouldn't assume you would, because people can coexist in our chat.
So, Jasper Troy won season one of LFG. The finale of season two is being taped in Houston, like in a week or whatever. They're just cranking these sons of bitches out. They're gonna start calling this Bump Island. We're just gonna Bump Island USA, and they're gonna make 8 seasons of this a year. So
is that like Love Island?
Yeah.
Can I pull you for a table spot?
Exactly. That's the joke. Yeah. I don't watch Love Island, and I never will.
It's a shame.
But I was trying to make a joke within the zeitgeist. So
I picked up what you put down.
Thank you. I appreciate you picking up the putting down. Jasper Troy won a reality show. He's very big. And for a guy who won a reality show, he's better than you would think he would be. Because let me tell you, the guys who won Tough Enough weren't great.
No.
You know what I mean?
They weren't tough enough.
Well, they might have been tough enough to survive being bullied by Bob Holly. But you know what I mean? They weren't tough enough to stick it out in a professional wrestling career. So I
I love us. Sorry. I'm totally tired. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to let you just scoop by saying that they might have been tough mm-hmm. enough to survive getting bullied mm-hmm. by Bob Holly. But yeah. They weren't tough enough to survive a professional wrestling career. Day where the Heritage Cup died, that comic gave me life, but
yeah,
as you were.
Okay.
He is very big. He did win a reality show. That's where we're at.
And so it would appear to me from watching him that he does have a lot of potential, but he might not be ready for this level. They don't have Level Up, but they do have Evolve.
They do.
And I think that this is the kind of guy who, if you need to use him on NXT, because he is so big, him being the heavy for some heel, you know, and wrestling squash matches predominantly would be a great way while he's training to get him up for this thing, because he's very big and he's very strong, but he's also very green. And how could he not be? So the problem I have with us watching this one is that Corey Graves would say something like, "Oh my God." And then I would be like, "I missed that. I got to go back and see what it was." And
he was trying to help it along. Yeah. He
vaguely threw Javon Evans. And the "Oh my God," was, it didn't feel like, there was one point where, "Are we sure Javon Evans is alive?" He got clotheslined over the top rope like he was getting eliminated from the Royal Rumble. And everyone was reacting as though Javon Evans had been murdered. And I just saw him get clotheslined over the top rope. So you're not helping this kid by lying to us about what he can do. That's been my thing with a lot of, this goes back to Black and Gold, where they would puff somebody up. But usually that was in service of then feeding them to somebody else. But don't puff up this kid artificially. He's incredibly large. Let him, like, I thought he was really impressive versus Obafemi. Obafemi sold great for him. I thought he had a fine match with Inamura. I thought this one was, maybe he's more suited to fighting other big guys. Because he didn't seem like he could get turned around in time to take some offense from Javon Evans, who's ping-ponging all over the place. You know what I mean? Like, And Javon Evans is super fast and super vertical and all this stuff. And Jasper Troy is, hold on, like he couldn't find him, which is exactly what an actual fight would be like if you wanted to have Javon Evans win it. If I'm fast enough, he won't be able to find me, so he can't connect with lariats. And so when he's got, when the match requires him to, then you watch Javon Evans ping-ponging all over the ring and then stop and wait for the guy to get turned around and hit him with a lariat. And, like, that's not how an actual fight would work. So we got to figure out ways of, like, okay, it's maybe very possible, almost certainly, Jasper Troy's never been in the ring with a guy who moves like Javon Evans. So let him get his sea legs a little bit with guys who move half as fast as Javon Evans, and then three quarters as fast as Javon Evans, and then finally bump him up to max level. So I thought this match was fine. And yes, Javon Evans bumping sold a lot of it, but also the stuff he was bumping for didn't look as impressive as it needed to be for him to bump that much. He wasn't doing Shawn Michaels Hogan levels of bumping.
No.
He was bumping too much of the things that were being done to him. Javon Evans won by reversing a black hole slam into a roll-up, got the victory, got the hell out of there. Jasper Troy was pissed. Jasper Troy, again, I think has a lot of potential. It just, he's not being done the proper service right now by putting him in these kind of positions where he can be exposed a little bit.
I agree heavily with pretty much everything you just said. I also wonder, like, why Tyra Mae Steele isn't allowed to be on here, but
I don't get it, man.
Like, she was ready. Like, she was great.
You could have easily put her in the Battle Royal tomorrow,
100%.
Tonight. 100%. There's no reason why not. She could be in the Battle Royal tonight.
Under the assumption that she's healthy and clear to ready
healthy,
to go.
Sure.
We have no reason to believe otherwise.
Right.
I agree with you so much about commentary and also Javon trying so hard to sell to make him look great. And when that's not correlate to what's being done in the ring, it does throw the vibe off. But it's also impossible because you can't be like, oh, he's... Well, it took him a second to turn around. That, like, there is a happy medium that they have to find with that, because you can't... If you undersell it, you rip away everything that's special about this guy immediately. But this does feel like overkill. They tend to lean in the direction of overkill. Watching this, I was so impressed by the fact that Javon Evans was able to... It's not like he was ring general necessarily, but he very quickly picked up the in-ring feel that, like, oh, this guy doesn't know what to do with me. I felt like he did his best to be the glue to hold this match together. And I thought, considering he's like 12 years old, no, he's the youngest OG, Javon. Mm-hmm. It's like that he was able to keep this match together. This kid is 21 years old. So I thought that was really impressive. He is the future. And I think with WWE, it's kind of nuts because they see what they have in Obafemi. So I don't feel like you need Jasper Troy around, because I feel like they offer something similar. And Obafemi is just very different characters. But as far as like what they're trying to mold these guys into, and Obafemi is just miles and miles ahead. But I also understand their desire to use NXT as a promotional vehicle for the other relationships that they have. It just, for a PLE, that felt a little steep on this particular show.
Yeah. So this kind of ties into the unfortunate injury that happened last night to Seth Rollins. But he appears to have really badly messed up his knee during a match with LA Knight. The match was called early, went home. He lost what he was supposed to win. So he's the Money in the Bank guy. If this is a year-long injury, this kind of puts a big damper on a lot of stuff, I'm sure, because they started mentioning Roman Reigns out of the blue last Monday, that there was probably a program for the two of them at SummerSlam. Roman Reigns never shows up to work anymore. So correct. He's that top guy era of him is gone. Cena's retiring. Punk isn't Punk anymore. They decided to put Drew McIntyre in a match with Jelly Roll. Like, with Seth Rollins out, this might lead to a complete, I don't say it's a panic move, but a let's shake up everything. Let's shake up everything. You know what I mean? Like if you told me that like Obafemi was on the main roster doing major stuff within the next couple of months, I wouldn't think that was crazy. He's shown what he's absolutely capable of doing, that kind of stuff in the ring. The character work is super solid. He could be on the main roster tomorrow, and I think he'd sure. I think he'd nail it. But I think they have longer plans for him to be the world champion in NXT. But it's very possible they decide let's overhaul everything. So, like, all of our plans are out the window because it was mostly going to be Seth Rollins in control.
Summer is here, and you know what doesn't belong in your epic summer plans? Getting burned by your old wireless bill. While you're planning beach trips, barbecues, three-day weekends, your wireless bill should be the last thing holding you back. And that's why I made the switch to Mint Mobile, and I've been loving it. With Mint, you get the coverage and speed you're used to, but for way less money. And for a limited time, Mint Mobile is offering 3 months unlimited premium wireless service for $15 a month. So while your friends are sweating over data overages and surprise charges, you'll be chilling, literally and financially. Say bye-bye to all your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile will rescue you. All plans come with a high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. Ditch the overpriced wireless, get 3 months of unlimited service from Mint Mobile for $15 a month. I switched in June. You should too. The first few months, I saved almost $100 by switching to Mint Mobile. This year, skip breaking a sweat and breaking the bank. Get the new customer offer and get your 3 month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month at mintmobile.com/FWP. That's mintmobile.com/FWP. An upfront payment of $45 required, equivalent to $15 a month. Limited new time customer offer for the first 3 months only. Speeds may slow above 35 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details. mintmobile.com/FWP.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
...of Raw. If we think we can't do that without him, we're going to have to make whatever that faction was into something else, at least for the time being, and we need a new major star on Raw. Maybe that they think that's Obafemi. So if that's the case, then disregard all of this I'm about to say. But I think the best thing they could possibly do with Jasper Troy is recognize that he's not Obafemi yet.
Yes.
And he's going to draw.
Obafemi, they took off TV for a year to make him Obafemi.
Exactly. Obafemi looked to me in Obafemi's first match better than Jasper Troy looks now. And they said, we're going to take you off screen. We're going to season you, have you do all this other kind of stuff. And then when we bring you back, we're going to push you to the moon. And especially with Obafemi taking up the one spot you need in a promotion of this size as the giant unbeatable monster, it's really, you can't have two giant unbeatable monsters at the same time. So if Obafemi has like an end date in NXT when he's up, if, like you say, he's losing the title at Center Delivered next year and he goes up, you could and probably should bring Jasper Troy along off screen until after Obafemi vacates the role of unbeatable monster on NXT television. You have a new guy that you have been molding off screen to slide directly into that slot. And he can take over that point. I think that would be a better service of Jasper Troy to make him better than make everybody look at him and go,
that guy's very big, but he's definitely not as good as Obafemi right now. And I don't see Obafemi losing to him. And that's a disservice to him.
I agree that I'm generally in favor of let's not put people in positions before they're ready. Right. I feel like that tends to, 9 times out of 10, it rattles the performer into not progressing instead of elevates them. I feel like I never want to be a catalyst for like negative talk about a wrestler, but when I'm speaking of putting people in situations that they aren't ready in, yeah, it feels like Jade Cargill maybe got put in a similar slot that she just wasn't prepared to be a tag team champion, unbeatable, whatever. Mm-hmm. From an in-ring standpoint only, that woman's has unrepeatable magic in other ways forever. But from an in-ring standpoint, when people aren't mature enough for the slot that you're giving them, that feels like it usually backfires. That feels like it usually backfires instead of catapults them. So I think when you said Jasper Troy has a ton of potential, that key word, right? If it's Mark Briscoe, the word of the day is potential. Like, mm-hmm, let's let him close that gap a little bit more before we put him in yeah, PLE situations and stuff like that. I do think they recognize, though, that this men's roster needs some juice. I think there are people with wrestling experience on Evolve, your Sean Legacies, this Vanity Project stuff. Like, there are people that came from the independents in a different system that I think you could call up. I don't know where I don't watch Evolve. I won't pretend to, but Jack Cartwheel is someone that I felt like that guy's been TV ready since before he signed with Evolve. Like, that guy was doing work on ROH and I was like, how is he not a focal point? And the answer is, of course, because no one's a focal point of ROH but Athena. But I do think I think he has a very high ceiling. It's just that the ceiling is far away from him right now, and he'll get there and he'll close that gap. Do you think that the answer is more bullying by Bob Holly? Should we bring that back to try and move him forward?
Yeah, but only if he plays his first character in WWE, which was the NASCAR driver called Thurman Sparky Plug. If he plays Sparky Plug, you got to bring back the brunette giant hockey hair mullet.
I feel like that's a character that people would make up in like a C-level wrestling movie. And it was very, very real. Yeah. Like, naming him Sparky Plug is incredible. Mm-hmm. That's something that Jeremy Lambert would run with legitimately for like 7 years.
Yes, it's true. the second match, they interviewed Sol Ruka and Zarya about how Sol Ruka was, you know, looked really good on SmackDown, and now they're going to win the tag team titles tomorrow. But right now, I'm going to go out and beat Izzy Dame, and Zarya is like, I'm going to be out there to counteract that little rat, Tatum Paxley. And the beginning of this match was so confusing. Zarya attacked Tatum Paxley during the introductions, and they were fighting in and around the ring and everything. And the referee was like, hey, your managers are fighting, but I'm going to go ahead and ring the bell to start the match anyway. And after I've rung the bell to start the match, I'm going to pay attention only to them and what they're doing, and not at all to what the two of you are doing who were actually in the match. So he separates Tatum Paxley and Zarya, who, again, I remind you, like, started fighting during the introductions. And then he goes, hey, 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 hey. And he starts pointing. And I thought, oh, you're going to throw them both out. That's smart. You don't want that to actually get involved here. You're a ref who says that shit's not going to fly in my ring. So you're both, get out. Both of you sent to the back. But he just goes, no, you have to stand over there, and you have to stand over there. And now that that is done, I will turn around and realize that Izzy Dame has been pinning Sol Ruka off a powerbomb for 7.5 minutes. Like,
As soon as he is out at ringside arguing with Zarya and Tatum Paxley, Izzy Dame immediately hits her sky high power bomb on Sol Ruka, and the crowd is there going like 1, 2, 3. I think they made it to 48. They were just counting how long she had been sat there. And by the time he slides back into the ring, it makes Sol Ruka look A, dumb, B, weak, and like she shouldn't have won this match. Because one move done to her by Izzy Dame put her down for so long the crowd got to chant. Like, they got to count. They got to see how high they could count. Like little kids. I can count to 40, and then the kid does it.
What comes after?
So by the time he finally gets into the ring, she doesn't even kick out. She puts her foot on the rope. Like, she's that's not great to do to Sol Ruka to begin this match. And then the rest of the match is just a lot of Zarya looking at Tatum Paxley going, why I oughta? while Sol and Izzy wrestle a good match on the inside. But after that beginning of the match, everything else felt like it was, you know, like it paled in comparison to how important it felt, as opposed to what this weird decision was to book it the way they did at the beginning. Izzy's got a really big boot. She's very strong. Sol Ruka is incredibly athletic. They had a fine little match. Finally, all four of them are on the outside. And then Zarya Zelta runs around the ring and breaks Tatum in half with a spear, which is enough to distract. The reason that she does that is because Sol Ruka did something big to Izzy Dame, and Tatum reached in and put her foot on the rope. So then here comes Zarya, runs around, cuts Tatum in half. And then Ruka was able to get the Soul Snatcher on Izzy Dame to get the pin. And the match ended the way we kind of knew it would. They're not going to take the title off of Sol Ruka. So it happened. And I guess it furthers this, whatever this is, between, like, Tatum, don't trust Izzy Dame. Trust the women. One of them likes to spear you. Like, I don't know what this storyline is supposed to be. Are we supposed to be rooting for Tatum to, like, go back and join these two women? One of which obviously hates her. None of this storyline makes a lot of sense to me.
I feel like this didn't work, and it's not on the women involved. Whoever produced this, I think just missed what we were going for here. To me, like, this didn't hit any of the things that I felt like it needed to. Now, it was really nice to see Izzy Dame in an important program where she got to wrestle. I will say that, yeah. Like, we just haven't seen that in a very, very long time. So that was really cool. And Sol Ruka is great. I feel very weird about the Sol Ruka and Zarya stuff, because I feel like it's working, but I also feel like they shouldn't have done it. I can't argue that it's working. I think it's working. But I go back to when Zarya first showed up, and I feel like if this whole time she had just been a monster heel,
I know,
like where this division would be on top of everybody else that had come in and gone up, and Jordynne Grace being around, and Blake Monroe being terrified of heel Zarya right now, like, would be gold to me. But I can't deny that it worked. So the direction that they've gone in is working. There's an overkill to me with this story of, because you've already been teasing this Zarya and Sol Ruka dissension on top of Tatum, who's your friends? I'm your friend, but I'm not really. The amount of, I don't know who's my friend in all of this, is overload to have all in the same story. And what happens is it just feels like chaos. It doesn't feel like any stories are being told when that's the case, in my opinion. Especially when one is such a longer term play and it's like, it's going to have these beats, yeah, but not go any farther than that. Right. So I think they just shouldn't be in a storyline with each other. And this whole thing is a whole hell of a lot cleaner. Or they shouldn't be having coexisting, are these people my friend things going on at the same time? Because it's just made this too much, in my opinion. So that's what I feel like hasn't been working about this. And also, I think you said this a couple weeks ago, and it just feels truer as time's gone on. Tatar is DeLulu, and we love her. She's genuinely fantastic. She plays this character
very, very good. Very good.
She's incredible in the ring. She does now look stupid. Like, her being DeLulu doesn't mean she shouldn't be able to pick up on the fact that a woman who's in an evil cult.
She walked into a black void where they cut all their promos, sitting in a circle, and go, wow, this place is amazing.
I think these angles, I will say, and the problem is they're dancing around something that could have really worked.
Yeah.
They just haven't hit it, because Tatum did an incredible job of saying, I'm really vulnerable because all my friends get taken away. Lyra got taken away from me. They hinted with taste about the fact that so many of her people got released. So the idea that she would be down and out was there. And the idea that Izzy Dame, evil goddess, would want to prey on that all makes sense. It's the patchwork in between that hasn't clicked in, that has made Tatum look stupid. Instead, like, they haven't gone to the emotional appeal of the fact that she's vulnerable, even though she laid it out. So that's my thing. And then for this match, it just got too convoluted. Like you said, the beginning of it was so disorienting. I couldn't really lock in for some of what was to come. But the work that kind of settled in after making Sol Ruka look bad for no reason, that did look good. And I'm glad to see Izzy Dame, because they've got to get these next women up now that they've called the big guns up to the main roster already, right? So very glad to see her in that position. I also believe today's her birthday. So happy birthday, Izzy Dame, according to what I saw on Instagram. There you go.
According to the gram. IG is
so for real. According to the gram. Source the gram.
According to the gram, and many more.
Do you think she's a better bully than Bob Holly was on Tough Enough?
No.
Okay. She has a lot of potential. There's still a way to go, but
perhaps.
Do you think she's a better NASCAR driver than Sparky Plug?
I don't know. Think of that name. That name's so perfect. We got Ethan Page and Ricky Saints, false count anywhere match. Sean, again, on Twitter said these guys looked like they were trying to prove something. This was the only match that felt like, this is worthy of a spot on a play to me. Everything else felt like this. Everything else felt like this could be on a Tuesday NXT. This felt like a takeover match.
Agreed.
This felt like Ethan Page and Ricky Starks, who certainly were wrestling at the time. They've been doing this for a very long time, both of them, before they got their breaks in AEW. They were like, if Black and Gold was still going on and everyone revered NXT the way they used to, and we were on that roster and this was our match, we would fit right in with a takeover card. Like, that's what they felt like they were saying. And they killed it. There was one ridiculously stupid and laughable spot three quarters of the way through the match, and everything else was awesome. Like, really good stuff. It utilized a lot of the... But when you do a false count anywhere, you got to go into the crowd. They did. You got to go backstage. They did. You got to go up on the stage. That's where it ended. A lot of interesting use of weaponry and major spots,
Ricky Starks selling like crazy. Some of these big, the use of the chairs was fantastic. I obviously saw this later, but the same use of I'm gonna put you through the chairs when they're back to back, like they did with Hangman and Moxley. Those yes. those ones always go like, okay, well that's your spine though. You need that to walk around and live. So
you do.
They were both very, very good in this match. The ridiculous spot came when they were backstage again, three quarters, maybe even five sixths through the match. It was very, very near the end, but it wasn't the end. Crucially, it was not the end.
Yes.
Because
of note. Notably, back, not the ending of the match.
Backstage, Ricky Starks gets whatever. Ricky St. Starks gets shoved through a doorway into an area of the backstage that we never see. It's literally a storage area, and he bumps into would be selling it too much. He nudges against the level of contact that he made with this person is the same level of contact that you make in the grocery store when when you got to get past somebody who's in your way and there's an item on the shelf. It was an oop, got to scoot right past you. Hold on, that's the level of contact that he made with Jasper Troy, who two matches after he lost to Javon Evans is just standing backstage in a room nobody
that uses. Was what took me out of it. I was like, what are you doing here?
And like, how dare you barely graze my arm, Ricky St. Starks. He bicks him up and uranagis him onto a road box. And I was like, oh, so like this weird happenstance coincidence thing is it's going to lead to Jasper Troy flipping out because he's pissed he lost to Javon Evans and just doing a whole bunch of stuff, power bombs through a table, get up, choke slam against a door, all this stuff. And meanwhile, Ethan Page is like, well, thanks, big man. And he picks him up and pins him. And really, so Ricky, because Ethan Page wouldn't care. He just wants to retain his title. Like, but Ricky Saints would be like, okay, that does it. Man, I'm sorry I bumped into you, but there was no need for you to do that. So Ricky Saints has one more match, and he puts over the big guy on his way out. There was 3 minutes left of the match after this.
Yeah.
Uranagi'd him onto a road box and gently shoved the roadblocks in a direction of nothing. And then Ricky Saints got off the road box and continued to fight with Ethan Page and was seemingly none the worse for wear for his encounter with Jasper Troy. Like, he was actually in prime position to win the match two moves before he lost it. Minutes after he ran into Jasper Troy. So I have no idea why that section of the match even occurred, except to show that, like, Jasper Troy gets pissed off easily.
I was like, what's he doing here? That was my reaction before anything. This match was awesome. I feel like we've talked week over week about how this match didn't necessarily have the bite going into it, and that Casino Gauntlet didn't do a ton to hype it up, even though I love Gauntlet matches. In addition to Jasper Troy stuff, I was like, Ethan has his own guys. We don't need to, like, shoehorn somebody into this to make an impact, because Ethan has a stable now. So, yeah. Like, adding that into it was, I'm going to say it, silly. I found it silly. I'm sorry to use such harsh language.
Listen, I don't agree with your use of such vulgarity, but the sentiment is accurate.
Thank you. I'm sorry to... look, it's been a long weekend. I don't mean to be so profane in my description of it, but I really appreciated, like, one thing that Ethan and Ricky are both going to do as individual performers and especially together is bring energy to something. And it didn't feel like the build necessarily had the love it needed going into it, but they made this feel like this is a blow off and I hate this guy. And if you're going to do that as a wrestler, when the story has only given you a little bit, like if you, when you have a candle and the flame's about to die and you throw oxygen onto it, and it becomes a big thing. That's what this story felt like to me. It started as like this tiny flame from creative, and that match finally was like throwing the oxygen to make that flame roar. And I appreciate so much that them as performers went out to go do that, because that was all them making that a gold mine. And they did a great job. I liked the layout of this, and I'm not always the biggest Falls Count Anywhere gal, but I felt like they somehow organically wove in everything to the match. Like I really appreciated that it didn't feel like, and now we go over here and we have wrestling. Like that happens a lot, but they made it very, very fluid. Strongly feel this should have either opened or closed the show. Like this was the only thing that had some snap in it. And I really, really appreciate how much effort went in by them to make this feel like a blow off to a feud. That's the second Ethan Page blow off match that, like, because that whole trilogy with Siobhan, I really, really liked. And that third match felt like this is sadistic. Like these guys hate each other. They're taking some bumps that, like, yikes. And this, I felt like, the third match of the trilogy was where they got it hard. So I really, really liked this, and it should have, I really like, if you're not going to do this as your main, this opening I think would have been great, because
they can't have an opening because you had to have Jasper Troy really sad and angry about how he lost the match.
Oh, that's a good
because okay, Jasper Troy needed to be a part of this match because he was so important to the sixth eighth of the match. Not the most important eighth, but not the one in the middle, but the one in between the middle and the end is very important.
I'll add an edit to it. Cut out the stupid spot and have this open. Cut that piece of it out because... Yeah. First of all, if you're doing a counter programming thing and All In is going to go 47 hours, you might as well have this be the thing that overlaps with it. Like you're playing that game, play it. But like this was the only thing that had the fire behind it, I think, to that, like we said, the only thing that felt like this should be out of PLE, like this match did it. When you talked earlier about what the Seth Rollins injury means to the product, I wasn't thinking Obafemi goes up so much as I was like, I wonder if one of these guys maybe gets fast-tracked if one or both of them weren't planning on going up already anyway.
I think it's actually the thing that I've been wanting. I think it's Tony, because he could just be another guy in this trio who does that, and then they have Seth Rollins lead from afar, cutting promos over satellite. And then sending his dogs to murder people. But I think mostly what they do is just like, okay, Braun Breaker is Mr. Money in the Bank now. And they just elevate that guy to the absolute pinnacle. And they give him soldiers.
Down on him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
shout out to Maggie in the chat who hopped on to show her sour appreciation and said, talking about NXT after all, it sounds like a chore. So everyone send them your money. Do send us your money. We like it when you do that.
Do send that. Yeah,
never throw around these parts, though.
Ricky Staines, after the thing with Jasper Troy, they go out on the stage. He hits a major tornado DDT on Ethan for two, and then he's going to do the Rochambeau into a bunch of lights, but instead he gets back body dropped near the lights, and then he gets picked up, and the Ego's Edge off the stage, a running Ego's Edge off the stage, and he... hooked Ricky Saints about 10 feet out and 10 feet down on some tables, and he could not continue. Ethan went down there and pinned him and got the victory.
The Rochambeau set up, I said, oh God. And then Ethan hooked him and I went, oh God.
Yeah.
Back to back spots.
Mm-hmm. They decided to do a contract signing for a show they do not have control over.
Stupidest thing ever.
During this particular show. And it was incredibly dumb. All of it was incredibly dumb. So Hendry's out there. Santana's out there. Trick's out there. Santana cuts a promo about how he doesn't like Trick Williams. And, hey, Joe, I can respect you, but I'm going to win that title. And then Joe Hendry says, Trick, I don't like you even more than he doesn't like you. Mike, you're all right, I guess, but I'm going to win the title. And then Trick says, I'm better than both of you, and I believe that I shall win the title. Then he decides that everyone signs the contract, and Trick's just going to leave because the contract signing portion is over. And then super mega babyface Joe Hendry pulls him back in the ring so they could do a double team maneuver on Trick Williams for the crime of thinking that he is going to retain his title. Because he didn't really say anything that insulting. He was like, Joe Hendry, your mama's so fat, and Mike Santana, your mama's so old. He didn't do anything really to say mean things about either of them. Like, their rage was uncontrollable because of how much of a heel he was being. They just saw the opportunity to soften him up before their match at Slammiversary by working together and did it, which just feels like a heel thing to do. But okay, all the crowd loved it. So they did it. They did a big power, double power bomb thing, crucifix bomb thing, and pick him up by the arms and put him through the table. And then they stand there and pose with the belt. And then the lights went out, and here comes Dork State. And Dork State runs to the ring and beats the hell out of both Joe Hendry and Mike Santana. But they didn't attack Trick because Trick was already unconscious. And it was like, where are four of us and two of them? Let's split up evenly. Two of us on him and two of us on him. We don't need to worry about that guy because he's snoring. So, like, later, Ava is like, Dark State came to the ring and didn't attack you, Trick Williams. Like, yeah, I was knocked out. I had even no idea that even happened. Are you going to do anything about the two of them teaming up to attack me? No, I'm more concerned about you probably while asleep sending a signal to Dark State to come to the ring and attack your opponents for Slammiversary. And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. It's like, that's a likely story. So how about this? If you're not in league with Dark State, who we have seen attack you multiple times before, if you're not in league with them, then it'll be fine for y'all to team against them on Tuesday. And this is the funniest thing Trick Williams has ever done. He does a, who is y'all? And the way that he said it was just, it literally made me burst out laughing. And she says, you and Mike Santana and Joe Hendry will team together against Dark State on Tuesday NXT. What? How is any of that a thing that somebody thought of? Are they really going to go back and retcon that now Trick is in charge of Dark State? He wasn't then, but he is now, or he always was and just played along when they beat him up a few months ago? Yes. Or what's the deal with that?
That's what they're going to do. Because Dark State desperately needs a direction, and Trick Williams is going to drop this title soon. I think to Mike Santana. Now, Santana is great. Santana is awesome. I was like, well, this is going to be ridiculous because this is a contract signing for a different pay-per-view than the one I'm watching, for a different promotion than the one I'm watching. And whilst I understand that NXT has that contract, how is this on a PLE? Like, I remember the pay-per-view where MJF buried Jay White. they were running angles throughout that pay-per-view the whole time. And I was just like, I just don't think you should be running angles during pay-per-views for the most part. Like, it just not like that, like post-match ones and stuff like that, but like little backstages and stuff. I'm like, that's like what weekly TV is for. Right. My expectations for this were low. And then everything that got made out of it, I was like, what? Like, yeah. Now Dark State's aligning with Trick. Now these guys have to coexist on the same team, which, well, we know they can't. Like, all of this was so... Everything that got set up out of this was an enormous question mark of, like, but who the hell thought to do this to me?
The biggest thing to me is that if you wanted to do Trick Williams and Dark State, you should have done that in March.
Like, oh, that's a million, you know, percent. I
mean? Now yeah. He's getting backed up by High Rise on NXT television and by First Class on TNA. Like, he's got, and both of those groups feel like they fit way more with Trick Williams.
Agreed.
Than these guys all dressed in black cutting promos in a parking lot.
Who have a leader? Like, Saquon Sugars is right there.
Make him the leader. Make him the leader. But they're all out there, and they're like, we're cutting vague promos about how no one is safe, and then we're gonna pull our little turtlenecks up or over our faces. Our turtlenecks have dog skulls on them. Ha! And like, those guys don't mesh with what Trick Williams is at all. So I really hope they're not trying to do that now.
Yeah. But if they're not trying to do that, what the hell is Dark State doing?
Like, I don't know, man. They
attacked very... Matt Cardona, right? Like, are they and just going to do TNA things?
They're going to TNA now. They're going to TNA now. Like, they're gonna have an extended excursion.
They pinned
TNA.
The tag champions.
They don't, but I know that, but they don't care about that. They want to go where they can make the most impact.
Alex.
Huh?
I'm a pun connoisseur, and even that was a bridge too far for me. Now, if they're using TNA as a way to figure out who these guys are, right. Like NXT's developmental, I actually kind of like the move of like, well, let's see what they do in a different environment and what we can cherry pick that would apply to ours. But you had them come in like a bat out of hell. You can't back off of that. Like, when you do something that is high risk, good or bad, you got to follow through on it. Because the bad becomes so much worse. Like, if you just bail on something when you make such a steep, this is like the Wyatt Six. Now they're kind of back on track. I guess whether you like the track or not is in the eye of the beholder, but they have a plan. But like, they shot Chad Gable in the head. They shot him in the head, Alex. And then they were like, we are just going to waffle around here and look cool for a long time. If you're going to have a statement making faction debut or whatever, you gotta follow through on it. I understand that developmental looks a little differently than main rosters though. Like, that's part of what they're there to figure out to do. But I'm like, why were they attacking champions and facing none of them? That seems silly.
Yeah, it does seem silly. Another thing that seems silly. Okay, there was some through lines. All the ladies, except for Izzy and Tatum, I think. All the other ladies who were in the Battle Royal got to cut a promo about how they're going to win the Battle Royal. None of them are going to win the Battle Royal. But they had little video packages for Jada Parker and Kalani Jordan, and you know, I'm gonna win or not gonna win. Lola Vice could have promo, no, not gonna win. And then the other silly thing. So all the members of the family cut a promo about how the family is coming to an end on Tuesday in their big triple threat match with just because we don't like each other stakes. Not like the winner gets to be the leader of the family and can mold it in their own image. We all hate each other and we're all already going our separate ways. Let's have one last fight about it is a very weird way to do it unless you're calling up Tony D. And so Luca cuts a promo I think he was like standing next to a pool about how nobody ever trusted me. And I'm the one smart guy. And now I'm going to prove that it's Luka time. He says he's going to be like a main event player in NXT. And I have my doubts. Now Rizzo wasn't involved in these, but I don't know if you saw the video that she posted to social media about how there was a cat in her wall. It's legitimately one of the funniest things I've ever seen. There's legitimately a cat in the wall of her apartment or house or whatever. And she is Big Ange. On so like as a real person, she's Big Ange. She's like, okay, there's a cat in my wall. I know how this sounds, but wait, watch this. She does a little scratch on the wall and then holds her phone up and you hear, meow. There's a freaky cat in my wall. Who do you call when there's a cat in your wall? Like, she's great. They should have used that as her version of this. Like, everybody gets a little 1 minute promo and hers is that there's a cat in my wall. Now, did we lose Kate? Because if we lost Kate, I'm going to have to like move on to something else because... Now Kate's frozen, and we have to talk about the most important thing to Kate. So I guess I'm going to talk about Obafemi now, and then we'll get back to this when Kate comes back, because Kate's frozen. Kate's frozen now! See? Kate's gone. She'll be back. I guess I'll talk about this. Hopefully she'll be back very soon. Stax's portion of this was that he had written out a list of all the people he wants to face for the Heritage Cup. He wrote a list of all these guys. He says fat Lexus King. But Lexus King lost a bunch of weight. So you want to go back and you want to face him when he used to be heavier than he is now? That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And he listed all these other people that he wants to fight for the Heritage Cup. And he asked a lot of them if they would do it. And one guy he wrote down A-Train. I mean, Albert. Matt Bloom, the coach at the PC. And he apparently sent out messages over social media to all of these people. And the only one that wrote back to say, I will fight you for the Heritage Cup, was Matt Bloom. Was A-Train / Albert / Prince Albert / Lord Tensai. And he goes into the Performance Center. He walks in past the little... front desk area. He sets the Heritage Cup on the little front desk area, and he goes in to talk to StreamYard booted Kate. So that's fun. She'll be back very soon. He goes to talk to Matt Bloom and he says, hey, Coach Bloom, when are you going to get this work? When am I going to fight you for the Heritage Cup, Coach Bloom? And I don't, as far as I know, the guy who used to be known as Albert hasn't had a match in a very long time and certainly doesn't look like he's moving around very well anymore. So it should be no surprise to hear that Matt Bloom says, You sent me a message over social media. I don't do that kind of stuff. The person you talked to wasn't me, or I got hacked. And he's like, what do you mean? So I don't get a match with yous? Oh, no, that's terrible. And then he goes back to the front desk, and the Heritage Cup is missing. The Heritage Cup is missing. And he's like to the front desk guy, who stole my Heritage Cup? Where did it go? Did you see who stole my Heritage Cup? No, I'm so angry. And then he goes and I guess he was going to go look for his Heritage Cup. Heritage Cup. At this point in time, I thought that his next challenger for the Heritage Cup stole it. I didn't know who that would be. I thought maybe Noam Dar wasn't as injured as we thought he was. And maybe Noam Dar stole the cup. Like Noam Dar, we thought it was going to be a much worse injury than it was, but it turns out he's going to be fine. He's not cleared now, but he will be in like 2 to 3 weeks. So maybe I thought maybe it was Noam Dar who stole the Heritage Cup and is like, this belongs to me more than it does you. You never beat me for it. So I want a match and I'm going to hold on to this until we have our match. I thought maybe that would be the best case scenario for this particular thing that happened. But it was not the best case scenario. It was not, in fact, the best case scenario. In fact, it was the worst case scenario. It was not Noam Dar, not as injured as we thought he was, who came and stole the Heritage Cup from the front desk of the PC. The last vignette of the
I don't want to talk about it.
I know. Of this particular part of this, we're talking about it, Kate. We have to talk about it.
Alex, my StreamYard kicked me out of here because they're like, this woman has been talking too long about wrestling, yeah, and we're going to try and save her from having to talk about the fact that her favorite device in all of NXT for wrestling
is sleeping with the fishes. You have to let me tell the story to the people because none of them watched the show, Kate. You have to let... I need them to experience it the way I experienced it, Kate. Kate, Tony D cuts a promo and he's obviously outside. He's obviously outside, and I didn't know why I didn't think of this at the time. He is standing on the bridge where they killed Two Dimes and threw him over the side. Like, it's the same place. It's the place where he took Ilya Dragunov and threatened to kill him and throw him over the side of the bridge. I didn't think that was it, but he cut the whole promo about how about where he found all these people, brought in Stacks, a kid I knew from the streets, brought in Luca, a college-educated football player with a law degree. I brought in Rizzo, the street smart girl who hits as hard as she is loud or whatever. And I did all that, and now it's all done. It's all gone. We got nothing left. Hey, Stacks, I'm going to see you on Tuesday. And when I do, you'll be traveling a little light. And he picks up the Heritage Cup. And he puts it in a black trash bag. And he throws the black trash bag with the Heritage Cup in it over the side of the bridge. The Heritage Cup sleeps with the fishes. They whacked the Heritage Cup. The thing that Kate still genuinely loves the most about NXT, or at least she did when she thought Noam Dar was a possibility to be the person that held it. Kate loves rules. It's the one device on NXT that has real rules.
They threw the Heritage Cup off the side of a bridge, packaged up in a black trash bag. The Heritage Cup has been retired.
My computer and my heart cannot bear this conversation.
Kate, we will recall when Ava said Noam Dar is injured and must not be the Heritage Cup champion anymore. I was like, hey, I need you to hear this from me. And so I sent this to both because I wanted Luis to be looped into this, because sometimes when you tell somebody really terrible news, you need to have someone else in the room as well. You need a third party. And so that was why I looped in Luis, and I was like, Kate, this is terrible. Something horrible has happened. I can't help but feel partly responsible because my favorite guy since 2021, Tony D'Angelo, basically whacked your favorite guy since 2021, Noam Dar. Because without the Heritage Cup, what is Noam Dar? He doesn't have purpose in this life anymore. I didn't condone this. If they had come to me and said, will you let me whack Noam Dar? I would say, I do not sign off on this. If you do it, you're out of the family. We're going to have to go to the mattresses. But if they didn't come to me, if they had come to me, I would have stopped this, Kate. But I couldn't stop it. I feel partly responsible, but I couldn't stop it. The Heritage Cup literally sleeps with the fishes.
This is largely your fault.
Almost entirely my fault.
It's basically entirely your fault. You loaded the gun. You cocked it. They just were the ones to fire it. First of all, I just want to say it's been a very rough year for the device of a cup on NXT, because Duke Hudson's MVP trophy also gone, with one of my favorites also gone. The Heritage Cup now sleeps with the fishes. And my Noam Dar is injured. And Kevin Owens and Eddie Kingston and Adam Cole are injured. Do you know how personally taxing this has been?
It's a really rough year for you in particular.
It's a rough stretch for your girl over here. And then I think I have a friend in Alex. And he manifested into existence not only the disappearance of my favorite device in maybe all of WWE as far as like championship programming, because as you know, I love rules. I'm a square. I'm a rube. Give me rules. Give me fire. Give me that which I desire. Oh yeah. As the song goes, Metallica wrote that for me. So the fact that Alex would turn his back on me.
I didn't do it.
Totally did it.
I didn't do it. How did I do it? Because you spoke
it into existence. It's basically your fault, Tony D's fault, and Lexus King's fault. Because the spirit of it was dying in his hands week over week. And he was like, we're going to take away all the rules about it.
When you think about it, it really was a mercy killing. Because Stax as the Heritage Cup champion was not going to be doing the stuff that you wanted them to be doing with that. Like, isn't it better that we let it die and preserve the memories before it gets too...
Or book it well.
No, that's
use
not
it as something cool.
It's not possible.
But I will also say, like, they don't have anybody on this roster right now that feels in the spirit of this other than Charlie Dempsey, and I think we've strangled every ounce of life out of that story that we're going to. They don't really have like any work rate shooter type characters whose character involves the pride of something like this.
The only one I thought they could have done it with would have been Miles Bourne. They could have made that into a thing, but
they could have.
Yeah.
They could have.
Yeah.
I am grieving.
Yeah, I'm.
I'm in a state of grief.
Sorry, it's the thing that happened on this pay-per-view that has the most lasting impact.
was the thing that happened to my heart that has the most lasting impact.
Yeah. Obafemi defeated Inamura, but that doesn't really matter. What matters is that Briggs is turning heel and Inamura doesn't like it. This was very good. Inamura fighting with fighting spirit and honor, and Oba matching him in that particular way, not wrestling heel, which is what I thought they were going to do. They just turned it into these two big dudes slamming into each other. It was a lot of fun. And then at one point, there's an accidental ref bump. And so Oba was going to do a power bomb, but here comes Briggs going out and getting the belt and then whacking. Getting up on the apron and hitting Obafemi with the belt. And then Inamura being like, why did you do that? I wanted to win with honor. And Briggs is like, are you crazy? I knocked him out. Pin him. Finish him. And he's like, I don't want to win that way.
I'm such a heel, bro. I'm like, just pin him.
Yeah.
Get the W.
But that's not
sometimes
who Inamura
circumstances
is. Inamura is a giant honorable baby.
He is a giant honorable baby.
You know, he's just like he. I mean, like there's certain parts of your brain that haven't formed yet where you can be evil. He's that. Part hasn't formed yet. You know what I mean? That part of his fontanelle hasn't closed yet. So he's no longer, he can't process evil thoughts. But Briggs sure can. Oba ends up winning with the fall from grace. And then later he comes and talks to Inamura afterwards. And he says, hey, you deserve better than that. I will, whenever you're ready, I'll give you another match at that title. Just without Briggs at ringside, because he's going to ruin everything for you. And then Briggs comes in and is like, hey, don't you talk to him. Don't you talk to him. He had you beat. You suck, and I'm beating you up. And Oba's like, get this man away from me. And oh, here come all the security guys, like, come hold him back. I'm going to handle this on Tuesday. Come Tuesday. And I was like,
Von Wagner's back?
And so yeah, we're gonna get brought Josh Briggs, heel Josh Briggs versus Obafemi. He will lose, but he'll blame Inamura, and that's gonna be your feud. So we were really sad because we thought, hey, these guys are a lot of fun. Team Double Fest. They could be the next tag champs. We like them a lot. And Inamura, we were all sad because Inamura had to go back to Japan, and then he came back to help Double Vest beat the Culling, and we were like, oh good, they get to still be a tag team. We're so happy about it. And they're like, hey, cool, we're gonna break them up. And I'm like, why did you bring him back from Japan? Like, now we're all sad about it.
I do wonder if maybe he's for real going back to Japan, and this will be the angle that gets him there. But I do, the match was really good, and Inamura is great. Like he's such, a unique combination of attributes and how, warm and charming he is, but then he gets in the ring and he's a monster in there. And it's fun to watch Oba go up against other monsters. We got to get a challenger that it feels like has a shot in hell against Oba. We've been saying that for a bit. And I think that's overdue. Mm-hmm. But this match was a lot of fun. It's productive in that it furthers a story. And they didn't close it with a contract signing for another company. So I guess that's good.
That's good. But, I really do feel like there needs to be a little excursion from the main roster for somebody like Sheamus, who gets like an actual program with him that lasts a couple of months while you are doing everything you possibly can to build as many real type challengers to face Obafemi.
Sure.
While that program is happening, so that when that program is over and that person goes back to the main roster, you have these guys who feel like they're on the level of Obafemi, because right now that ain't it. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah, and some of it is just like credible challengers getting wins outside of the title picture.
That's a lot of it. Yeah. You know what would honestly be great for this particular problem? A number one contenders tournament.
Yeah, just a straight up tournament.
Where you actually get to watch somebody stack four wins in a row.
And not a tournament that's two rounds of triple threats or whatever.
No. Like an actual honest to God. They're never going to do a round robin. But like an honest to God, like tournament with 16 guys in it. You can bring some from the main roster, some from Evolve, some from TNA if you want. Though all those guys will lose in the first round, but eventually you'll actually be building down to an actual, a real type challenger. But I don't know. I don't think we're allowed to do that.
Alex, I'll be straight up. Sean, I don't think planned on us doing this post show because we didn't have an ad read today.
Mm.
I don't think he thought we were going to have the stamina after reviewing All In. I don't think he thought this was going to be a priority.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, I didn't think he thought we were going to be up for it. But I'm up for it for any wrestling chat. And if I needed help getting up for something.
Yeah.
I know exactly who I would rely on.
You dealing with a nosy mailman all up in your business about what you're ordering, what you're getting? Well, don't worry about it with BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. It ships discreetly. Discreetly, fortunately for you, because a mailman's gonna want to know what's going on. He's gonna be delivering that mail to your house. He's gonna hear all these sounds. He's gonna be like, what's going on there? Well, I don't know, because this package doesn't say anything, but I have a feeling the package in there is saying something, and it will be because of BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. Same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, helps get you that main event performance and confidence. And you get your first shipment free when you go to BlueChew.com and use the code FIGHTFUL. Like I said, same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but much more affordable and in a chewable. Take their online quiz, and then when approved, it ships straight to your door. My gosh. BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. Mind your own business, mailman.
Yeah, mailman. Mm-hmm. Were there six matches on this card?
Five.
There were five. Okay, I thought we broke formula there, but now that I'm recounting,
five. There were five matches and a signing. God, Jackson. Jordan Grace and Blake Monroe defeated J.C. Jane and Fallon Henley, assisted by Masha Slamovich. All four of these women can work. I don't care about any of this. Blake Monroe pinned JC Jane, which is the thing that I thought was going to happen. I thought we're going to have Blake Monroe pin JC Jane. And then I thought the next thing that happens is Ava comes out and says, by virtue of you pinning JC Jane, you've just been added to the match at Evolution, making it a triple threat, which pisses off both JC Jane and Jordan Grace, but makes Blake Monroe really happy. And then you have Blake Monroe win it by basically doing to Jordan Grace what MJF did to Mark Briscoe, which pisses off Jordan Grace and even more, which gets to that program, which is Blake Monroe, who oozes insincerity from every pore. This character is incredibly insincere when she is trying to be your friend, because her whole thing is, I'm better than you, look at me. And so you need to turn her heel. This kind of person does not work as a babyface. So make her heel. And the way to do that is to snake a victory away from Jordan Grace, who she had just been telling the entire time was her friend. Now, Masha Slamovich coming in and attacking Jasmine Nix to then cause enough of a distraction to lead to JC Jane losing this match and getting pinned by Blake Monroe seems to suggest that match the winner of the Evolution match faces Masha Slamovich at Slammiversary, it would be JC Jane, because she needs to get revenge on Masha Slamovich for getting involved here. All of this, none of this, all of this makes zero sense. None of it makes any sense. It just feels like all of the, there are too many ingredients in this stew. It cannot possibly taste good. The end result in the bowl that will be served to us come 2 weeks from now cannot possibly taste good, because you put too many ingredients in there that don't go together. I just figure out a way to make it simple. You know what? I'll take a bowl of broth, please, because this stew has too many things in it.
Well, there's got to be a happy medium between broth and too many
things. I would rather have broth than too many ingredients. I want just the right amount of ingredients. Thank you very much. But this feels like it's got too many.
I feel like I am a big proponent of promotions working with each other, and I feel like it so rarely works.
It would be nice if they could just figure out a way to like do that without being dumb about it.
Like, Forbidden Door, the show works, but like the TNA partnership with AEW wasn't great either. I think it's so healthy for wrestling that people do it, and I don't think it really works. I feel like everything gets too caught up in each other. I've been singing the praises of Masha Slamovich for a while now, not so much on this show, but like before she was signed. So I'm glad to see her start to get like eyes on things, you know, like I'm glad that people are starting to figure out who she is outside of the TNA ecosystem, because I think the world of her. Everything is too layered on each other at the same time, meaning like there's too much going into Slammiversary that's also like when I'll put it this way, when WWE made the decision to have their pay-per-view in Saudi Arabia and SummerSlam and do Saturday Night's Main Event and do Great American Bash and Evolution, on top of them also having a cooperative relationship with TNA and their biggest show of the year coming up, mm-hmm. You were going to run into this problem. Like you were going to run into this problem of too many things being devices at title shots within WWE and outside of WWE in TNA and within the NXT program and things going on to the Evolution card. Like, I think that's part of why Tuesday's go home segment was such a cluster F was that, like, I think ran out of steam creatively. And then you were stacking up all this stuff for Slammiversary too. And let's not forget, the TNA Knockouts also have their tag titles. So there's just a lot going on. And I feel like when the creative nature of NXT is also rather convoluted, it just becomes too much. Like it just becomes nonsensical after a while, because so much of NXT, especially the women's division, is relationship. Everything in the NXT women's division is, can I trust my friends right now? Jordynne Grace and Blake, Zoe Ruka, Tater and Izzy. It's all the same freaking story. So when you add that on to, and this means you're going to Evolution, and this means there's a title shot at this company, and there's a title shot in that company, it's just too damn crowded. And the wrestling part, the vehicle to get there gets really, really clunky and lost. Glad to see Blake like in action finally. Like, that's good. And we'll see what happens on the Evolution show too. I don't know what we'll get out of it, but
yeah,
we'll find out later tonight.
Blake Monroe has a different finisher than Mariah May. She won with a DDT.
Yes. Yeah.
She won with a DDT. Is that because like it's more ladylike? I don't like. What? Because the Mayday was a great. Is it because it's too similar to a WWE girls finisher, and they don't want it to be like confused? Is it?
I'm trying to think of who on the NXT roster might have something that's.
It's not. I don't think it's NXT, but I was like, is it too similar to the Nightwing? Isn't that what basically the Mayday is? Is the.
It's essentially that's a good shout.
Essentially the same. So now we gave her a DDT,
which everybody does. Maybe like, that won't be her only one, but that is
maybe won't. But that is how she won her first match.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That was weird. But she got her first victory, and we'll see what happens going forward. But this the women's picture since. Frankly, since Stephanie and Julia had their match, has just felt incredibly convoluted. Stephanie versus Julia for both belts because we thought Julia was going to be out forever. Oh, turns out she's fine.
But she's not going to be here long. She's Stephanie's
going to defend both titles with pride. Just kidding. She can't defend the North American title anymore. We're going to do a tournament to get into a ladder match for that. And then all of it has just felt incredibly convoluted. It just needs to go back to very, very simple stuff of build up a challenger for one of the titles and then just do that. So.
And on top of the call-ups and the creative changes you just talked about, also releases. So much of what feels convoluted to me is like Cora Jade felt like a top player and then was released. I feel like the lack of clarity around who's in your mid-card and who's in your top of the card outside of like Jordynne Grace is obviously, and Blake Monroe is obviously. Like that's what they haven't settled into yet. And that might just take some time, but it has... Even just stuff like Nikita Lyons is in Evolve now instead. Like, they have had an insane revolving door as far as the talent situation goes. And I don't think they've quite sorted out who sits where. Because you also have so many people that are on the cusp of going from one level to the next. Like your Kalani Jordans or whatever. But yeah. We'll see what happens at Evolution tonight with...
Yes. Ryan Adams, thank you. I guess I didn't see the fact that it was a double underhook DDT thing. It looks more like the old Dirty Deeds, the Dean Ambrose.
That's what I thought. I was like, but it's giving Dean Ambrose.
All right. We'll see how vicious you can make that. Meet Norma says, hello, bruvs. And I would say, goodbye, bruvs. We're about to end this show. On the way to the meat store, toodles. Have fun buying meat. Yeah, we're okay. My wife decided that in our neighborhood, nobody knows each other. Nobody is it's not like a real nice neighborhood where everybody can wave at each other and just hang out. And I'm like, yeah, it's good. I'm antisocial. Have you met me? And she's like, no, I think we should throw a block party. So we're throwing a block party next Friday. And so I am in charge of the grill. And so I am also on my way to the meat store to make sure we have enough meat to grill at this block party. I will see. We'll see who shows up and how friendly they are, or do they just want a free hot dog?
I mean, that's going to get sorted out real fast. Yeah. What I like is that you're grilling so you can mostly maintain your antisocialness while also satisfying your wife's desire to make friends. That's well played. Very well played. Nicely done.
And then No Poets Allowed says, I'm bigger than Alex and I'm a poet.
So you're not a Slim Jim.
No.
But you are a poet. Well, why?
No,
why
no, no it is, though. Denny's Big Jim.
You're Jimmy Uso. Jimmy Uso's in the chat.
Jimmy Great Uso in the chat. Big Jim.
All right. Thanks, Uso, for the super chat.
Hey, Kate. So you are doing the Evolution post show tonight.
I get to talk about wrestling this weekend.
Yeah. did you hear the big news about that particular show and one match on that show coming out of Saturday's main event?
I didn't. Is AJ Lee returning?
No. They've added a stipulation to Naomi versus Jade Cargill. Have you heard about this?
No. I haven't had time to hear about wrestling.
I want this is great. The chat. We get to see Kate's honest reaction when I inform her of this detail. Kate, what would be the very best stipulation for them to add to Naomi versus Jade Cargill? If your answer is special guest referee, you are correct.
I did actually hear about this now that you're saying it out loud. I just forgot that Bianca is their special guest referee.
Guess who is the special guest referee? None other than Bianca Belair, who we saw be the special guest referee for a match a couple of months ago versus Io and Rhea, and she failed miserably at being a special guest referee because it was her attacking both women that got the match thrown out.
I would love it if she tries to be the special guest referee, but because she's had a broken hand, she can't hit the mat three times, and that screws everything up. She's like,
yeah. Ow. Ow, that hurts.
Yeah, she can't do it.
She goes, one, two, ow.
Every single time? That would be so fun.
That'd be great. It'll be great. So it'll be fun for you. I don't know what I'm doing to react to the evolution thing. Maybe something, maybe nothing. But in my absence...
That was their attitude going into it. That might as well be yours.
In my absence, go find Kate and Cresta, who is amazing. If you've not seen Cresta review something, she's amazing. Her and Kate will be a blast. So go watch them review evolution. We'll be back here talking about NXT on Tuesday. In between, Kate and I will talk about whatever horrible thing they come up with to counteract the Seth Rollins injury on Raw. That'll be behind the paywall at Fightful Select. Until then, everybody, keep cool, gabagools.
Yeah.
The Heritage Cup sleeps with the fishes. Everything sucks.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.